The microbiologist Thomas Brock passed away at age 94 last month at his home in Madison. Brock worked as a professor in UW-Madison's bacteriology department for many years. His work changed the way microbiologists understand microbes and had a far-reaching impact in many other fields along the way. Technically, without Brock's work, forensic crime shows like CSI would be science fiction. Here he is talking about his work.
The important thing is to make a contribution, some sort of a contribution to society. That's what I always considered, and I thought science is the way to do that. And the more knowledge you get, the better.
Talking now with the life and work of UW microbiologist Thomas Brock. If you happen to have worked with him or taken a class from him or have questions about his work, you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Joe Handelsman is director of the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery and a professor in the Department of Plant Pathology at UW-Madison. She served as science advisor under President Obama. Joe was a longtime colleague of Thomas Brock. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, you and he had overlapping careers, I understand, at UW-Madison. Can you share some memories about Tom Brock as somebody to work with, a coworker?
Well, when I first met him, I remember being quite intimidated by him. Tom was very tall, and he had a loud voice, and he had kind of a blustery personality. And I thought that he was very brusque at the beginning, and it took me a while to figure out that he's actually was a really warm and caring person, and very eager to help other people. And of course, his intellect was about as big as he was physically. He had a big personality, big mind, and a big impact.
And we're going to meet one of his colleagues a little bit who was there with him for one of his biggest discoveries. Can you talk about Brock's work on microbes and how they really changed what we know as microbiology today?
Well, Tom gave us our understanding of a lot of the microbiology of Yellowstone Park, which is where he did a lot of the work that ultimately became his big breakthrough that you'll hear about. And he taught us a lot about the specific knowledge of the microbes that live there at these extremely high temperatures and very uncomfortable conditions. And that was extraordinary in itself. But the bigger concept that he really gave me as a gift was that we can't detect all microbes by culturing them in petri dishes. And it was a period of time where most microbiology was still done in the petri dish, and that had gone on for about 120 years. And Tom was the voice in the wilderness saying, no, they're not all culturable, so you're missing most of the story if you just culture them. And later he became, I think, something of a hero for many of us because he made us aware of that. It took me about a decade of hearing him say that to finally start using culture-free conditions that circumvented culturing. But he was saying that for decades before anybody moved in that direction. And one of the sort of ironies was that he made that argument, and then the work that he did led to the very method that allowed us to detect microbes without culturing, to detect their DNA and not just grow them on plates. So he really contributed to his own passion, which was seeing the microbes that are unseeable on petri dishes.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about how his work with, as you say, some of these extreme microbes that could survive in this scalding hot condition of a Yellowstone geyser, how that led to this PCR test that a lot of us may know of from the COVID-19 testing people have gotten over the last year?
Well, the PCR test and method was dependent upon being able to do what we call melting DNA, so separating strands of DNA. And we do that with heat. And so the idea behind PCR was to make lots and lots of copies of a single strand of DNA. And that meant melting and then copying the melted strands and then letting them go back together to be a pair and then melting them again and copying them. And so that's why it's called amplification, because every time you made a copy, then you would melt it open and make a new copy, and that would amplify it exponentially. But the problem with the idea, which occurred before the problem was solved, the problem was that you couldn't keep heating the protein, the enzyme that was needed to make the copies of the DNA. And so you'd end up having to keep adding protein. Every time you melted it, you'd add and let it re-anneal, you would add more protein. And you'd end up with this big, big kind of goopy mess of tons of protein, and the reactions wouldn't work. And Tom discovered the bacterium that would live at these high temperatures where you can melt normal DNA, and the bacterial enzyme that copies the DNA will just act perfectly happy and normal. And you can then cool it down. The enzyme will do its job and make copies. You can melt it again at high temperature. The protein lives. So it was that bacterium that lived at these excruciatingly high temperatures in Yellowstone that gave us that enzyme that allowed us to copy DNA repeatedly in what's called the polymerase chain reaction, or PCR.
Talking to Joe Handelsman, director of the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery, colleague of the microbiologist Thomas Brock, who passed away last month in Madison, talking about his career and his huge contributions to the world of science. And Joe, this story makes me think of the old TV show Connections, where here, you know, a microbiologist is curious about what's living in a geyser, and what, six decades later, it's helping us test for this pandemic-causing virus. Can you talk about just the value of basic research and curiosity, even when you don't know what you're going to get out of it in the long run?
Yeah, Tom was became sort of a symbol for that. In fact, he won what was called the Golden Goose Award, which is an award that was developed in response to the Golden Fleece Award, which was something that our very own Senator Proxmire started, that was to make fun of science that sounded so obscure and so irrelevant that nobody would really be interested in doing it. And he would use it as an example of scientists wasting government money. And so a group came up with the answer to that, which was the Golden Goose Award, which is very, very basic and seemingly obscure science that doesn't have an application when it's done, but then has magnificent implications for applied science and for solving practical problems later on. And what the Golden Goose Award and the whole our whole understanding now of basic research and its impact on society tells us is that when we set out to solve a very applied problem, we rarely make the gigantic step that we need to make that problem really tractable. And that's what Tom's work did so beautifully, that he was studying these obscure bacteria. People would sort of, I remember people almost rolling their eyes at, oh, he's studying the Yellowstone bacteria again. You know, like, what is the good of that? And here it had this enormous impact on really all of biology and an enormous amount of testing that we do in medicine and in agriculture and environmental sciences.
I understand Thomas Brock wasn't just into microbiology. He got a little macro with his biological interests, including prairie restoration and ecology here in the state. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think a lot of us kind of thought that Tom had two careers, and he was a microbiologist for probably, 50 years, and made just enormous contributions. But then he took his passion, his intensity, that amazing intellect, and it is also his physical strength and love of being out in the environment, and he applied it to prairie restoration and environmental restoration across the state. I remember working with him once on a site here in Madison where we were trying to get rid of all the garlic mustard. And, you know, when Tom asked you to do something, if you cared about him as much as I did, you didn't say no. So I didn't know anything about garlic mustard at the time, but he taught me that it was this horrible weed and we needed to eradicate it so that it didn't produce seeds and spread. So I went out and pulled garlic mustard with him. And it was just an amazing event because I remember all of us were kind of fading by the end of the day. My back was hurting and I was kind of tired of pulling garlic mustard, and Tom was going strong. He just had this incredible, endless energy. And first he spent years applying it to microbiology and then made amazing contributions later on to prairie restoration.
And before I let you go, Joe, how did Tom influence you as a teacher?
He had an enormous impact on my teaching through one of his books. So Tom was a very prolific and beautiful writer. And in addition to the science that he did, the experiments he did, he also studied the history of microbiology and wrote a wonderful series of books about some of the great microbiologists and great discoveries. And one of them was a book about Robert Koch, who was one of the microbiologists of the 19th century that really set microbiology on its route to culturing, which is also one of the interesting twists of the story, that one of his great subjects, Tom's great subjects, was Robert Koch, who introduced the Petri dish. He was the first one to actually culture bacteria on a solid surface. And that was, of course, the method that Tom used, but also said, that's just not enough. We're not seeing all the bacteria if we use that. But it was Tom's book on Robert Koch that gave me the basis for teaching a non-majors biology course, where I taught the scientific method, because Tom laid out how Robert Koch came up with his hypothesis, tested it over a Christmas holiday, as Tom described it, and worked in his little home lab while he wasn't a doctor. It's a wonderful story. And was the person who established that bacteria can cause disease, which we didn't know in the 1870s and 80s. And so it was that chapter in his book that I used in teaching for years and years. And my students always loved it because it's such a memorable story, but it also teaches the essence of great science.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
That was Joe Handelsman, director of the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery, professor in the Department of Plant Pathology at UW-Madison. We're looking at the career of Thomas Brock, UW-Madison microbiologist who changed the world of biology in a lot of ways and beyond. Coming up, we'll meet one of his colleagues who was part of one of his biggest discoveries, hidden in a scalding geyser. We're continuing our conversation about UW microbiologist Thomas Brock, who passed away last month at the age of 94. Brock's discovery of the superheat-resistant bacteria Thermus aquaticus in the 1960s was essential to the invention of the polymerase chain reaction, or PCR, in the 1980s. If you've heard about PCR lately, it's a key part of COVID-19 testing technology. And a lot more. Hudson Freeze is director of the Sanford Children's Health Research Center and the Human Genetics Program at the Sanford Burnham Prebys, a medical discovery institute in San Diego. Freeze was Brock's undergraduate assistant during his 1960s trip to Yellowstone, where the two discovered the bacterium Thermus aquaticus. Hudson, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thanks a lot, Rob, for having me on. This is a real privilege to talk about Tom.
Thank you so much for joining us. Could you take us back to Yellowstone as you and Tom were snooping around looking for life in geysers?
Oh, yeah. My gosh, what an opportunity. I had never left Indiana, and I had never been any farther west than the Chicago Stockyards. So the opportunity to go to Yellowstone was really a treat. I'm a 20-year-old kid, can't even drink yet. And so Tom made me this offer, and I thought, well, I can't turn this thing down. But, you know, what's going to be so interesting about Yellowstone other than the things we already know about? And once I got there, you know, my jaw just dropped. And Tom was such an inspiration because, you know, as I think you just heard, he was this very strong, he's tall, 6'4", and he had strides that would embarrass an Olympian. And so when we would head for the spring, Tom would lead and everybody would try to keep up with him. And the enthusiasm, I would say his enthusiasm bubbled over as much as any geyser. And you could just sense the excitement that he had and that he brought along, you know, for all of us to follow. And, you know, make no mistake, he was very serious about his science. You know, he might seem like a kid in the candy store, but he was dead serious about getting the science done.
Well, now he was a unique type. And then you and he found this unique specimen, this bacterium, Thermus aquaticus, where, you know, it lived in a place where we didn't always think there was going to be life, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was really a surprise. So before that, microbiology thought that if you were going to live anywhere, maybe you would get up to maybe 120 degrees Fahrenheit or about that. But if you're going to do anything more than that, you had to be a spore-forming bacteria, which means that you could be boiled because you were as a resistant spore. And what Tom figured out was that there were all kinds of things living in essentially boiling water. I mean, water boils in Yellowstone at something like 92 centigrade, 95, somewhere on there. And so there were organisms living there. And it was hard to imagine that they were doing this. And not only that, but they were optimally adapted to whatever temperature you found them at. So if you move some of these bacteria cooler, where you think they'd do better, they don't. They insist on being at the temperature that they have become accustomed to over millennia.
As we heard from Joe Handelsman there, that unique bacteria paved the way for what we have now, this PCR method. Can you talk about how that flowed from the geyser to this bacteria to all these different ways that this technology gets used now?
Sure. I think it's fair to say that any medicine that has been in use in the last 30 years, maybe except for aspirin, ancestry diagnosis, the entire biotech industry, in fact, you know, owes its existence to this PCR and Thermus aquaticus. And how does that come about? It turns out that you can replicate DNA, and DNA is composed of two strands. That's your genetic material. And you can melt it. You can separate those two strands. But the way you do it is by taking the temperature way up. And it had been known in biology that there were these enzymes that were called DNA polymerases, that if you supplied the raw materials in that enzyme, that they could make and duplicate and copy the DNA. But first you had to melt it. Well, the cell does this in very tricky ways, but chemically and physically you can do it just by taking the temperature up. So if you provide the right primers together with the raw materials and an enzyme, it will make two strands out of just one. Well, you got to let those come back together. Then you have to melt them again if you want to replicate that. Well, you can do that, but you need to add an enzyme. That same enzyme, that DNA polymerase. And that would require, every time you heat it up and cool them down, that would require adding more enzyme. Well, Carrie Mullis, in getting the Nobel Prize, figured out that, look, if I use Tom Brock's Thermus aquaticus, I can use it at high temperatures. It doesn't care about boiling water. That's where it's the happiest. And so I'll take the polymerase from that organism and, in fact, use that to replicate DNA. And you can make millions and billions of copies of a specific piece of DNA by using the enzyme that came out of Thermus aquaticus. And that was really revolutionary. That was in the late 80s, early 90s when that caught on.
We got an email from Kay in Waterford who says, Kay was a bacteriology major at UW-Madison in the mid-70s, taught by Dr. Brock, says he was far ahead of his time, passionate about the work. And Kay said on a trip to Yellowstone, they thought of Dr. Brock when they saw and smelled the thermal features there. Can you talk about the influence that he had, Hudson, on you and probably so many other students like Kay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tom was the godfather. He was the one that for me, exposed me, and I'm sure many other people, to the real principles of science and how to get science done and to have the enthusiasm for doing it. And, you know, I remember being in the lab sometime. You know, his office was actually built into the lab, but it was maybe, on a little platform, sort of sub-office, about 5 feet above the lab floor. And with Tom, being as tall as he is, he looked like Zeus coming down off Mount Olympus when he would walk into the lab. And he had this presence that you knew you had to produce at that point. You knew that you were going to get ready for presenting your data and that he would be impressed if it was done well. He would say, well, you know, I think you got a little farther to go. You need to work on that a little bit more. And so he set the standards high, he set the enthusiasm high, and he made sure that we were all going to match up to it. And I think without Tom and without his guidance and certainly without being able to publish a couple of articles with him, I would have never gotten into graduate school.
In our last few moments, can you, I guess, leave us with some inspiration from Thomas Brock for maybe the people out there, the younger people who might be the scientists of the future?
Yeah, it's important to do basic science. And that's what Thermus aquaticus was about. Nobody cared, really, in the mid-60s about bacteria growing in hot springs. But there needs to be fundamental research done, because what that does is it creates the platform that you can't predict where it's going to go. And 25, 30 years after our discovery of Thermus aquaticus, it made all the difference in the world and created industries and billions and billions and billions of dollars of enterprise, as well as saving millions and millions of lives.
Hudson, thank you so much for joining us.
Basic science.
Thank you so much for sharing these memories with us. I appreciate it.
All right.
That was Hudson Freeze, director of the Sanford Children's Health Research Center. He joined us for a look at the career of UW-Madison microbiologist Thomas Brock, who passed away last month.